From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. 1,400 years of English legal tradition are about to come to an end. Late last week, Prime Minister Tony Blair announced some of the most radical constitutional changes in modern British history. One of the proposals is to scrap the current High Court in Britain and replace it with an independent, American-style Supreme Court. Today in Parliament, Blair faced a barrage of criticism for it. NPR's Guy Raz has more from London.
Since the year 600, someone in England served as the Lord Chancellor. The job descriptions changed over the years, but the importance of the post hasn't. These days, the Lord Chancellor wears three hats. He's the head of the judiciary, which means he appoints all judges in England and Wales. He serves as the Speaker of Britain's upper chamber of Parliament, the House of Lords. And if that weren't enough, he's also a voting member of the British Cabinet. Most legal analysts here, and the Prime Minister, say it violates the notion of judicial independence, that it's an anachronism of Britain's outdated legal system. So, in a brief written statement last week, Tony Blair decided to scrap the job for good. And almost immediately, the knives came out. Conservative members of Parliament, including Nicholas Soames, almost all opposed the changes.
Mr. Deputy Speaker, why does the Prime Minister persist in dealing with the dignified part of our Constitution in such a casual and arrogant manner? And does he not understand that his proposal to remove the Lord Chancellor without extensive consultation is an affront both to the Crown and to Parliament?
The affront isn't entirely about the substance of the changes, but about the fact that Blair failed to consult the House of Commons. And it's why the head of the opposition, Ian Duncan Smith, laid into the Prime Minister.
Last week, the Prime Minister ripped up the Constitution in a matter of hours without consultation. A monumental change, the Deputy Speaker, on the back of a cabinet reshuffle, as though our Constitution was the Prime Minister's personal plaything.
Blair's biggest proposed change is to establish a Department of Constitutional Affairs. A committee in that office would then appoint judges and end the current system where the Lord Chancellor does the job alone. It may also put an end to the old boys' judicial club here. 98% of judges in the UK are men. The other main change would be to create an independent high court, something along the lines of the US Supreme Court. Right now, the highest court in Britain is made up of 12 senior judges who are also voting members in the House of Lords. Imagine if members of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee also served as U.S. Supreme Court justices. That's more or less Britain's system. In Parliament today, Blair vigorously defended his proposed changes, saying they're necessary to modernize the legal system, and attacked his Conservative counterpart.
Now he wants to fight to the death to keep the minister in charge of our court system in a full-bottomed wig, 18th-century breeches, women's tights, sitting on a wool stack rather than running the court service.
But even supporters of legal reform argue that Blair went about it the wrong way. Rodney Barker is a professor of government at the London School of Economics.
It's one thing to propose radical reforms, but it's quite another to simply say, well, everything's going to be changed, but I don't know how yet. But even so, we'll abolish the old system and sack the old bloke. But I'm not sure what we're going to do next.
The old bloke who was sacked by Blair, the former Lord Chancellor Lord Irvine of Lairg, is a staunch opponent of the Prime Minister's reforms. As recently as last year, he reiterated his opposition to the establishment of an independent High Court.
I am not persuaded that the case for legislative change to establish a Supreme Court is made out.
Irvine was Blair's political mentor, a man who once compared his access to Blair with the influence Cardinal Wolsey wielded over Henry VIII. But Irvine's influence wasn't enough to preserve the old order, and in the end, Blair needed to get rid of him to push through the reforms. Guy Raz, NPR News, London.